Welcome to Good Life. I'm Dean Wilson. So glad you're with us, wherever you are. If you're watching us locally on television here in the Santa Barbara area, we welcome you at TVSB. And, of course, so many of you are joining us from all around the world on all these different platforms. It's been so exciting for us. And the YouTube channel, you can subscribe. And, of course, goodlifetelevision.org. And the podcast, which has really grown. We just launched it about a year ago. Good Life Conversations. So all these interviews, if you're a podcast type, you can find them there. But we're talking about the good stuff. We're talking about with good people. And it's been amazing as I reflect on it. It's actually, we're coming up on 5 years. Now, we got some good people here. This is going to be an interesting. We're coming up on 5 years. I was reflecting the other day on these amazing people. You know, today we happen to be at Damascus Road Productions with our good friends Ryan and Heather O'Quinn. And we'll talk more about that in a second. But we've had actors, we've had producers, we've had directors, we've had athletes and coaches and just regular people you've never heard of that are doing food pantries and doing shelters and nonprofit leaders. It's been an amazing journey. So we're just glad you're with us for it. And it's so much fun. Every time we finish taping, I feel like my cup is full because of it's just a wonderful journey. So thank you for being part of it. And like I said, we're at Damascus Road Productions today with some amazing people. We love coming here. It's like our second home. We're so grateful for the opportunity. So if you don't know about Damascus Road Productions, I'd encourage you to check it out. The work they're doing, the content that they're putting out, the light that they're shining in the world is spectacular. These are really good people, so check them out for sure. And I want to introduce my new friends, Gabe Brown, Claire Margaret Corlette are with me. Welcome. Thank you. Newlyweds.
Yes, yeah. It's over a year. Is that still newly?
Yeah, I think so.
It feels new.
I don't know when people stop saying.
Yeah, I mean, you're welcome to make out if you want.
Okay.
It's good life, you know what I'm saying?
5 years.
Well, yeah, I know. Right? Yeah, true.
Do you feel like newlyweds?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The fire is still there. Yes, we've
flame is
exactly.
Yes and no, to make a very simple question really complicated.
Please
right
do.
Off the bat.
Yeah.
Cuz I feel like I've known you forever, but then I like cuz you know when you meet someone you're like, "Oh my gosh, this person like gets me."
Yes, yes.
That's how I feel, so there's like the comfortability there. But then I'm also like there'll still be things where I'm like, "Oh, that's new."
My friend described it in a cool way. He said like when a relationship first starts, it's like a blazing fire. But then it becomes a warm hearth. And he said that's where the comfort is. And so,
yeah.
That's a nice way of saying
so
the fire's
touching,
dying.
Gabe.
That's so cute.
Thank you. I just added that last part.
It's a meaningful statement.
I agree. He's a cool guy.
Yeah. Are you a deep guy?
Oh, yes. I don't know. It's all by comparison, right?
She's saying yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's all relative, right?
Well, yeah. But
there are deeper guys.
I would say, yeah.
Okay,
let me introduce you before we go into
Okay.
Okay, so Gabe, Black Griffin is where you know him. GRYPH, it's zero,
it's
right?
A zero.
N.
That's
Black
Internet.
Griffin, YouTube channel, millions of views. This guy's blown up. It's really amazing. We're going to talk about that. So you can find him there. He's a musician. He's an artist of every kind. He's voiceovers and so forth. So please look up Black Griffin and find him. I'm not going to call you Black Griffin just
Thank you.
Today. We're going to go with Gabe. But, and Claire is best known for being the voice of Sweetie Belle, right?
Yes.
In the TV series My Little Pony. So we're going to talk about that work. But let's start with how did you meet?
Well, funny enough, we met through My Little Pony,
yeah.
Really.
My Little Pony.
Yeah, yeah.
It all comes back to My Little Pony.
It does.
Oh, what a great story.
the very, like, condensed, non-dramatic version of it is that we were working on the same show. We kind of became friends. Like I said, you know, you meet someone and you're like, okay, this person's weird. That was my first thing. I was like, that's
I definitely
cool.
thought that, yeah.
about me or about yourself?
Me.
Oh, okay, yeah, definitely.
I agreed about that.
Yeah, super weird. And we're like, okay, the weirdness is like meshing here. So we naturally became friends. We didn't know each other super well. And then eventually, and I was living in Canada at the time, so technically we met in Canada, and we would, like, occasionally meet at, like, the whole convention scene, because that was, like, a whole thing. That was, like,
yeah, at the time, we weren't really, like, hanging out. We were just bumping into each other, because we're in the same kind of field.
And then eventually, I moved to Los Angeles to pursue an acting career, we'll say,
Wow. And nobody does that.
I know. So I'm so unique and different and special. And then I was here for about a year when I was like 20. And then I left. This is what I'm really condensing.
Yeah, this is really
but
short.
But I left and went to Arizona because at the time we had just started dating. And basically your family kind of took me in under their wing. And I was like, hey, guys, I have nowhere to live. I know you don't know me. And, but just trust that I'm like not going to like burn your house down, basically. So yeah. I actually like stayed with your family. And that was like a whole
other thing. I think they would have been fine with that. I almost burned their house down like 6 times.
Yeah, I know. Literally, that's like not even a... That's not even the worst. Anyway, this is me making a long story short, and yet it's taking forever. But then, yeah, basically we started dating, and then I moved to Arizona, and I was like, all right, I'm really gonna commit to this, and then we got married.
Yeah. Yeah, that was super short.
Found some rings.
Yeah, I found some rings on Amazon. Shout out to Amazon.
The first, it wasn't Amazon, but it was, yeah, the equivalent.
Was. Not this ring.
No, I found this.
This is a Disney ring.
That's a Disney ring. It's called Evil Queen, which is fitting the longer I know you.
I didn't know that at the beginning. I was like, it's a Disney princess.
No, Claire's
ring.
Like, my engagement ring, I want a black diamond. I was like, that does not exist. Oh, it does exist.
Yeah,
okay, carbonado diamonds. Yeah. They're real. They've got, I would call them impurities or not. Diamonds are made of carbon. It's just a different structure than like graphite, which is the typical structure that we see.
I'm
carbon.
I'm not really a jewelry person, so I kind of gave you like, I didn't even know what was possible. It's just like, okay, this, I want something that's black. That's all I really cared about.
And so, Disney. You said black and Disney.
That's true, and I thought that was going to be impossible.
Apparently not. Disney makes rings with black diamonds, so there it is right there. Evil Queen ring. If your fiance is an evil queen...
You too
can get a black diamond ring from Disney.
So you wake up in the morning, you have coffee?
No.
Coffee?
Yes.
No, because coffee turns me into an insane person. Insaner person.
Well, but that's not why you don't drink coffee.
Oh, I also don't like the taste of it. That's not interesting, though.
So what gets you going in life? Like, what drives you? What's your passion? What
people.
Okay.
For her, definitely.
Talk about this.
People, I've always been fascinated with storytelling. I've always been interested in getting to know people. What makes a person tick? That's probably what made me so interested in you to begin with, because I was like, this is some enigma alien.
This is going to take years.
I knew, like,
I'm going to need to study this up close.
In terms of a marriage, I was like, this is going to be something that will never bore me to death. And that was a guarantee. I was like, there's
no boring.
There's nothing about you that will, you will continuously keep me on my toes, which I think I need. And a lot of the times I convince myself that I don't need that. And I'm like, it's not like I want to live like a normal life, but I do get into this like rhythm sometimes where I'm like, I want to wake up in the morning and have my coffee and then go outside on the patio and be like, ah, look at the bunnies and the birds and I'm smelling the fresh air.
We live in the desert and we don't have a patio.
That's not what happens.
Like, yeah. There are no birds.
But I like expect only that my cactuses. Brain is going to work that way. And I think like when we've been talking about this a lot recently, but I'm like, I don't think that I actually function that way. And I think I've just convinced myself for a very long time that I'm like normal. And I'm like, no, I'm borderline insane. So, and I totally forgot what the first question is.
It
so
was what gets
now.
You?
What's your passion? What gets you up in the morning? What do you think
right.
About?
So
what
for
do you
her,
think
it's
about?
For her, it's people. For me, it's experiences. I think that God made a big, fascinating, crazy world, and we have a finite amount of time to explore it. So I want to have as many experiences as possible, which is why I scuba dive and skydive and fly paramotor and all the stuff that I do.
They're saying now that that's kind of the new thing. Don't spend your money on stuff.
Yeah.
Spend your money on experiences. Yeah. More people are doing that.
Yeah.
Well, and the cool thing is you can buy stuff that affords you experiences. So that's why we both fly ultralights. And, you know, those cost money. But what they are is a gateway to the sky. You know, we can fly when we want to, which is just a great thing to be able to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a...
Seems like God's given you some unique gifts.
I think here's the thing. I think God gives us all unique gifts. I think it's a question of... pursuing it and being comfortable enough to find it. I think our society wants to put us in a box, and I don't even think it's malicious. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. We have this culture that is a machine that runs at peak efficiency when everyone kind of picks something and sticks with it. And I don't think it's in our nature, a lot of us, to just do one thing. But that's kind of how the structure just kind of falls into place. And so a lot of people end up just doing one thing. And I realized a while ago that I didn't want a 9-to-5 to afford me, you know, the money to pursue the things I wanted. I wanted my hobby to become my 9-to-5 so that I could live that way. Right. But that autonomy comes at a price, which is there is no real stability in it. Which is also kind of exciting.
Tricky.
It's like, don't know. I don't know if we're going to be making money next year. It's just,
who knows?
Yeah, just kind of trust.
Does that help your trust in God?
Out of necessity. Because if you don't know, here's the thing, none of us ever know. I mean, any of us could lose our job tomorrow. You know, it is a false sense of security that I think lulls people into complacency, where they find themselves afraid to not be comfortable.
Right.
And that's where we grow, when we're not comfortable.
Right. So, afraid of the unknown.
Yes.
Fear's an enemy.
And fear, it is an enemy, and we all have it, too. It is natural to have it.
Right.
It's not about eliminating it. It's about confronting it and then kind of finding the balance, living in that balance. Because I don't think you can eliminate fear. Bravery, courage exists because of fear. You know, if you didn't have fear, you couldn't be brave.
Yeah, there's a part of our brain. You know what the amygdala is?
Yes, yes.
I never knew about this. For those of you who don't know, I want to sound smart for just 1 second. We've done 260 shows. Can I sound smart one time? But this amygdala is in our brain. It's like the size of an acorn. Mm-hmm. And it's the part of our brain that is the fear.
Yeah. Fight or
danger,
flight.
Danger, fight or flight, or freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Fight. I like to throw freeze in there.
Yeah.
Fight, flight, or freeze. But it is part of our brain that actually is always looking for danger. So in one sense, there's, because that keeps us alive, I think.
Yes.
But we're not made to live in fear.
Right.
Love is the antidote, right?
The fascinating thing about the amygdala is that it is programmed to override our logical processes,
right,
which is why fear is used as a control method so much. Because if you're afraid,
right,
you don't think logically or rationally. You're reacting. You're in that fight, flight, or freeze mode, which is not sustainable. Just like you said, we're not meant to live in that. We can't live in that.
Your central nervous system breaks down.
Right.
You break down as a person.
Well, because adrenaline is flooding you. Your body is in high alert, high tension. That tension is meant so that we can move more quickly.
But I mean also trauma.
Yes.
So the amygdala is saying, when you have that feeling, saying, I had this feeling before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have this experience again.
Right. And those are neurological pathways. The more you strengthen those connections, the easier it is to fall into those habits.
Well-worn path.
So it's about finding, at least for me, because I can't speak for anyone else, but for me, it's about preventing, you know, that pattern from forming at the source, which is living in such a way that I have to be comfortable with the unknown, with uncertainty. And in reality, none of us have
welcome
control.
To planet Earth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We
this
all
side
have
of
that.
Heaven.
Yes, exactly.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
And there's no overcoming without the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But fear is I think fear is such an enemy.
Yeah.
And I think that the creative genius that God has made someone, let's just call him Gabe.
Yeah.
That does
wonders for my ego.
If there's fear or there's a paralysis, that actually I believe that there's an enemy as well as a God, as well as our God, and so he wants to stifle, destroy, crush creativity. I was watching this video of you, and I'm like, oh my gosh, the power, right? When you're free to be who God made you, is unbelievable. Are you agreeing with any of this?
Very much.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm not trying. I didn't expect to talk about the amygdala, but
No, that's.
I love that.
So do you guys dream together?
More and more so recently.
Yeah.
It's interesting because when you come together with somebody, and I'm learning all this, there's so much more for me to learn because I actually never dated before her. She's the first person I dated.
Really?
I was a very kind of solo venture. And it's not that I wasn't interested in it. There were just so many other things that I was more interested in. And I think we both came together with our own concept of what our life would look like, even with a partner, where it's like, you can't imagine merging your dreams with someone else before you've done it. Even if you know kind of in the back of your mind that it's possible, you've always operated as this is my plan, this is my dream, this is my life.
Right, yeah. You're doing
that's
something
my
together.
Thing.
Right.
Like having expectations, you know, off in my own world before we were together, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to marry someone who looks like this, and they're probably going to have this for a job, and basically, I'm just calling all the shots.
I don't even know what that is, but I know it didn't happen.
Exactly. But it's good that it didn't happen. Yeah. Because sometimes we get so focused in our own heads about, like, you know, what we want out of life. And especially with, you know, common rhetoric that's like, you get to choose your destiny. This is your choose
yeah,
your own
this very, like, self-empowering kind of,
you know,
world that we live in
it
today.
It sounds
which is...
really great, and it sounds very empowering, but it's very hindering when you actually, you know...
Well,
tear the wall down, basically, yeah. And you come face to face with someone. You're like, okay, here's what I know. I love this person. Here's what I know. This person loves me. That's kind of the only things that are, like, absolutely guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's like, okay,
figure everything else
we're deciding to live a life together, which, like, in theory, if you really break this down, sounds insane. The two people, but it works, right? Because this was
we're created for this.
We're created for, right. Like, company and all the things. But it's like, two people just get together, you know, sometimes they have kids, sometimes they don't, but they're basically saying, like, hey, we're going to live the rest of our lives together.
I know, that's
and then
terrifying.
And you just go for it. Like, it's yeah. insane.
Figure it out. And that's I think, where culture kind of corrupts the idea of
yeah.
marriage, where there's this thing where it's like, we're so obsessed with falling in love,
mm-hmm.
but not staying in love. And
yes.
and the work that goes into that, and that it is a choice. To yeah. stay to love somebody and to work through the hard times, and that it's good to have the hard times because it sharpens you, just like in life. Like
yeah.
you said, we're made to be challenged and we're made to learn to deal with difficult times because that's how we grow.
Yeah.
And so marriage is a whole, man, it sounds like I'm saying marriage is a difficult time. It's not.
Well, it's like, you should also like,
you're so right, you're so wise
yeah.
beyond your years.
Oh, thank you.
You guys should do a podcast or something. I don't know.
We do have
add
a podcast.
That to your list.
So
you do?
We do. We've
keep...
made like three episodes over the course
of
a year. So
yeah, it's
like
we get to get like, oh yeah. Well, because like we do it in our like guest room, and then it's like when we have guests over, like, well,
we have guests over a lot.
We can't do that.
So,
and we're
yeah.
like, we'll just put it off, and then, you know.
I like hearing Alexa from the other room go, record 0 degrees podcast, and you going, shut up. And it's like,
yeah,
that's
like,
our reminder.
Alexa, no.
What's it called? 0 degrees?
0 degrees.
Yeah, it's called
yeah.
0 degrees.
So
we have like six
if you're
episodes.
Just joining us, I'm with Gabe Brown, the Black Griffin. Check it out.
The Black
the
Griffin.
Black
the
Black Griffin. And Claire Margaret Corlett, who is his new wife and
yeah.
an amazing talent
first wife.
Herself.
First wife.
First
My first wife.
wife.
That's a stupid
I
joke.
I think
like.
That there's, in younger generations, there is less interest in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
There's people are getting married later. There's less mm-hmm. vision for marriage and family,
yeah.
which makes me a little sad. I think
makes me sad
it's
too.
The most exciting thing that I think you can do is build a family.
And
I think
you go
because
I always do this first. You go.
No, okay. I thought I was gonna say the exact same thing.
Rock, paper,
think
scissors.
We will?
Oh yeah, that's good. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Did you shoot?
No.
Okay,
I'm American, so I guess I should.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. Okay, go
does.
Ahead. Go.
I won. Anyway. Oh, dang it, now I forgot what we were talking about.
ADD.
Marriage and family.
ADD.
Vision.
Oh, right. I was going to say, I think a lot of young people, it's hard because I'm like, well, I'm still in that category, so.
But that doesn't mean you can't talk about it.
Well,
exactly.
You're
speaking from
but
experience.
It's like, I am speaking from experience and, like, you know, take this with, like, a giant coarse grain of kosher salt. But, like, I don't know why I got so specific with that. I saw the packaging and I read it all. Anyway, I feel like people who are young are afraid of these kind of commitments because it's made out to be this big, scary thing. It's not like you shouldn't talk about marriage and talk about what you want. But people are so, again, based off of fear, they're so scared of taking that step. Like, what, you know, the thoughts in your head are like, what if I find somebody better? What
right.
if I find someone who
right.
gets me?
Right.
And all those things, by the way, we create in our heads because we think that it's true. And I'm not saying that for certain situations there might be somebody who is more suited for you, but this is when, you know, God comes into the mix and everything, and you have to trust, okay, am I on a path right now, or am I straying, am I going all over the place? But specifically to get, because I could talk about this forever, to specifically get back to the family thing, like, I have always known since the moment I stopped playing with dolls that I wanted to be a mom. However, I'm 24. I have, you know, time to be a mom. I don't want to be a mom right now. And I think a lot of people think about these things. They're like, oh my gosh, family, marriage, committing, buying a house, huh? And they freak out and they don't do any of it. And it's like, you can break these things down and go one step at a time, especially finding the right person, having the right conversations about it, where you're like, here's what I want. I want to take this slow. I want to just take this, like, you know, chunk by chunk. I know I want to be a mom. I also know that I want to go to the grocery store and buy a whole milk. I also know that I want to be, you know, I want to do more acting and I want to discover, you know, these different worlds. It doesn't mean that you have to do it all at once. And you know, you slowly figure out in your life what you want to prioritize. And I think that that is something that young people are kind of missing now, where they hear these big things and they're like, well, that's not for me. I can't do that because I can't even figure out, you know, what I want to order at a restaurant. And like, they just freak out about it.
If I could speak into why I think that is, because I'll try not to go too long, but I think that the empowerment culture that we live in, the negative side to, you know, self-empowerment is self-deification. And this idea that the most important thing is you. And when you prioritize, exactly, if you prioritize yourself, why would you get married? Marriage is about prioritizing someone over yourself.
Yeah.
Prioritizing, or better yet, the relationship as an entity. The two shall become one. That is your priority now. And that takes people off of the selfish track, which is glorified as something that it isn't. And that's the lie, right? That when we focus on ourselves, that we become empowered and strong, and really we become selfish, we become paranoid, and we become entitled. And we think that we are owed something. Right. It is, you know, the world should cater to us. Right. And all of us are thinking that. Mm-hmm. So that's not going to happen.
It's such a bummer, you know? Because that unison, or that unity that you have between two people, like, that is so strong. When it's right, it's so strong. And it's like this unstoppable force. And I think a lot of people think, well, I've got to do it on my own. And also part of that is also like, well, I want to say that I can do it on my own because that's way cooler. And then I don't have to thank anyone.
And there's pressure too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the self-made, wow, you know, you're a self-made.
Because we just raise that up so much. And it's like, those people didn't do that. Even if they did something remarkable, there's not, you know, we're not trying to take away from that.
I don't want to do it on my own.
There
that
are
sounds
so
lonely.
Many people. The only reason we're sitting here right now is because we have amazing friends who invited us to stay in their house. Like,
where are they?
Yeah, I don't know. <Okay. She's laughs> But it's like that, like, there's so many people to thank. And like, you know, an awards acceptance speech can only be so long. You're not going to fit in the amount of people who've, you know, planted seeds in your life and helped you grow and had amazing experience with, like, there's not enough time. Right. There's not enough time to thank that many people.
Yeah. It's such a great point. And the cord of three strands, when you tasted the power and the what can happen there. It's like having a Thanksgiving dinner and leaving the cotton candy behind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But when you're just eating cotton candy, you're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's not a side to
no substance.
It. Yeah.
So what do you like to do the most? You're both multi-talented. What does he like to do the most?
He changes every couple months.
Day?
Yeah, it kind of depends on, like, what the hyper-fixated flavor of the month is. But I would say your most prevalent ongoing hobby is paramotor.
Yeah, right now. As of the last 5 years, it's my longest
lasting
hobby.
Coupled in with that is, like, engineering, I guess. Like, tinkering with things and, you know.
Paramotoring is the ultralight that I fly as a paramotor.
Fixing, so, you know, engines and stuff like that. Like, anything that you can really get your hands on.
So you had you did 54 voices or whatever, and it went, like, viral, like 100 million.
Yeah, that was.
Did you just come up with that?
Well, actually, the first person that I saw do it was my friend Joel, or Roomie Official. Shout out to him. I did it because I was broke. I had just gotten out of the military, and I was like, I don't want a 9-to-5, but then I have to figure out how to make money. And so that was an attempted algorithm takeover, essentially. We had written some music already. It was doing okay. It wasn't paying all of the bills. I figured I probably won't be able to monetize this, but the algorithm is going to prioritize, you know, if I can put 54 artists in the metadata of this video, anytime someone searches any one of these names, this could come up as a recommended video. So I used that video as a platform to promote our music, and it worked. So it just, I don't even think I'm that great of an impressionist, to be honest. I'm very, I'm a bit obsessive, so I'll work on one impression for a really long time.
Who's
so
your
I can,
favorite impression to do?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I would Michael say Ratner. I love Michael Jackson, but that doesn't mean that I think I'm the best at it. But it's definitely the most challenging and the one I've worked at the
you
longest.
You don't want to do it right now.
I guess I could, but I don't know if you get you know.
Try
all right. What's a yeah? Like now, of course, I don't remember any Michael Jackson
People
song.
People always told me.
No, it's too high.
Oh.
All right. How about gonna make a change for once in my life. Yeah, I don't know. It's too low.
Simon Cowell.
Hello. Welcome. How are you? You're the worst talent I've ever seen. Go home.
Rip.
Well, you know, that's the essence of Simon Cowell.
I mean, yeah.
Do you like to sing?
Love singing, yeah. Yeah, I love it.
So do you put a lot of time into singing during the week, or what?
Unconsciously, I just kind of sing all the time, and I don't most of the time realize I'm doing it. I'll be in the store in my mind, walking quietly, like a human being.
This happens a lot.
And Claire will go, Gabriel, can you just be a little quieter? I'm like, what? She's like, you're singing really loudly. I'm like. I no, I'm not. I didn't think I was. I believe you because I've been told that by many people in my life. But I don't know I'm doing it. But apparently I do it a lot. So yeah.
And Claire, what about you in terms of as you look out, just in terms of your just keep it on the work for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously you've done voice stuff and you've done all kinds of stuff. But what gets you most excited about as you look out, as you look forward?
What gets me most excited? I mean, I always come back to people, you know? I love people. I've always loved people. I find, you know, decisions and, like, the psychology behind each individual so... It's so different for every person, but I find that so fascinating. So my ultimate answer to that is probably storytelling. I think that the way that maybe God has given me talents is in the acting department, but I also have been more recently interested in writing things, and I'm like, well, hold on. I love portraying stories. I love getting to tell stories, but I also want to make some of my own.
Yeah.
And so I want to try. I've been working on that a lot in my own time, and that's what really kind of, you know, gets my gears going. So I feel like in the future, like, obviously we want to kind of partner our skill set together and try and move forward as a dream team couple and like try and, you know, kind of try and like make people maybe interested in, you know, what we have to say and stuff like that. So, and we live a weird life and people have told us that enough that we're like, okay,
maybe that's interesting
enough.
Maybe it'll speak to somebody who hasn't,
you know,
seen that.
We just have to commit.
The joy. People are looking for joy. People are
looking
for joy. They are. They definitely are.
They're looking for authentic joy.
Yeah.
Now, who has it?
Yeah, that's...
Isn't that a good... I mean...
Yeah, I would agree.
In this world of, you know, fake and TikTok and AI and...
Yeah.
People want truth, and if they see joy, and especially a couple, oh my gosh, it's magnetic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's rare
and magnetic.
I like hearing you say that. I don't know if I've ever really thought of it that way before, but I agree. I think in this age where drama and pain and heartache sells... because amygdala response, and we have access to everything all the time.
Right.
It's always in your face, the bad stuff that's happening in the world, whereas throughout history, that wasn't the case. We just didn't have access to it. So I agree. I think people want to see authentic joy, and they even just for a moment want to escape what I think is giving so many young people anxiety today, which is the idea that the world is falling apart all the time. Even though we actually live in the most peaceful time in human history, you know? We just know all the bad stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
Whereas before we didn't. We only knew it was happening in our circle.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Well, and we know all of our friends'
problems
because they're on Instagram.
Right.
So, that's a great point. You guys are, you have a real power. You know, power is, you know, I think about God, and we were talking about this on the drive down, you know, we have the power. You know, when you have Jesus inside of you, think about that. I mean, the power and the joy. And if you're together, it's like, forget about it. I mean, I can't wait to see what happens.
So, me too.
Honored to meet you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Congratulations on your marriage.
Thanks.
I'd love to stay in touch.
Absolutely.
I'll follow you guys and see if God's going to do some good things.
I thought we were still doing the intros. Oh,
it's over. It's over. We're out of time 2 minutes ago.
Oh, no, sorry.
Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.
And thank you for joining us. What a great couple. from Damascus Road Productions here. So grateful you joined us. See you next time.